1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry's show, essentially a comedy show, but we go into another day of news talk. And when I say we're essentially a comedy show, we happen to be one of the funniest shows on the air. But these days, people want information. They don't necessarily want us to do shtick on that information. They want the information first, then somewhere down the road we can do the shtick. And that's kind of the way that we are conducting ourselves throughout the last 6 weeks since the attacks, the mass murders in New York and in Washington. And although you certainly can check out our website, philhendryshow.com, and today is the day that we launched the backstage pass to the Phil Hendry Show. If you want to know what we're all about, you want to know what this show is, what it ain't, you can get a backstage pass for $6.95 a month. You get 60 days of free archives. Well, you get 60 days of $6.95 a month archives. You get streaming audio from our live show whenever you want it, which means you can listen to this show 24 hours a day and participate in a lot of other things, audio clips, archive things, some classic stuff that heretofore had been up on Napster and had been shared throughout the internet realm. We now make it available on our website. This is exclusive stuff you can't hear anywhere else. Now, today's poll, by the way, just to show you how serious we are about all the news that's been going on, who would you vote for in a crisis like this, Batman or Superman? Right now, Superman leads 86% to 18. I don't even know why, or actually 82% to 18. I don't know why I thought it would be anything less. When you think about Superman, he's got it all. Batman's got a car, and he's got that kid, but Superman, he don't need a car, Superman. He just stands there, and like you can explode nuclear bombs on a cat. So what, I mean, it's like no contest. 1-800-449-8686 is our number. And here is some news that perhaps you have, perhaps you don't. But this, to me, was the most fascinating news of the day. Nick Robertson of CNN interviewed representatives of the Al-Qaeda terrorist network somewhere in Afghanistan. Mr. Robertson apparently had met with these individuals before, so he knew them to be fairly, sure individuals as to their relationship with Al-Qaeda. Just before we left Jalalabad, he states, inside Afghanistan, we met with members of Al-Qaeda. I asked them if bin Laden had survived the last week of attacks. They said he had. This representative I was talking to had met with bin Laden 2 days ago, and he said he was well. I asked him what his mood was after these attacks. They said his mood was good, that he believed that they were going to win this war. He said that bin Laden felt that they had already dictated the terms and that this war was being fought on those terms. And from their view, this was a fight to save Islam in the face of forces that they say are trying to destroy Islam. He also said that bin Laden says that the only way the United States can avoid this conflict is to withdraw its troops from Saudi Arabia and withdraw itself from the Palestinian situation. They also said that there was a special message, and that special message was that if in Afghanistan civilian houses were attacked by the United States bombers and any other allied bombers, there would be serious consequences. CNN asked Mr. Robertson, these representatives, were they telling you the truth? And Robertson replied, we can only take their word for it. They were certainly presented to me by an individual who I have met before on previous trips to Afghanistan, and they were presented to me as representatives of Al-Qaeda. They certainly seemed to be very confident in what they were saying. At one point, they asked me in conversation, in fact, if I was scared sitting there talking to representatives of Al-Qaeda. And so, in his opinion, they did come across very persuasively. Did this representative give you any more insights as to the strategy of bin Laden? They believe that they are already winning this war, and they base that on several things. And one of them is, they say, look at the economic impact that we already have had, and that this will bring economic ruin to the United States and to the rest of the world because the way the global economy, all economies, are linked. They say this will be particularly bad for Britain as well. They singled out Tony Blair. They also said that this would be bad in the long run for President Bush and for Tony Blair politically because they said they believe their power and support will erode because of their positions on this issue. They also said another thing, that they believe anyone supporting their group, and they liken supporters of their movement or their beliefs to equal one core of a modern army. They said one supporter from us can destroy a huge amount of property in the United States. One person in a particular type of suicide mission can destroy an equivalent of what one corps in a modern army can do. They think that, I think, is indicative of the way that they will perceive their struggle at this time and the way that they will prosecute the war that they say they believe they are winning. That was from Nick Robertson, who interviewed members of Al-Qaeda. I also went on the Internet today, and I looked up, or tried to look up, instances where the United States was told one thing by an adversary previous to or during a war. And I found this interesting quote from Saddam Hussein. He said this on September the 25th, 1990. That was during Desert Shield, the buildup of forces in the Gulf before the war. And he said basically that the United States would repeat its Vietnam experience. That would happen during the Gulf War. Also went back to the Second World War and what Hitler had to say about the United States. It's kind of interesting that Hitler's comments of the United States are difficult to find, like him commenting directly about the United States. But he said in a speech to the Nazi Party Congress that the United States, and this was in 1938, 1 year before the invasion of Poland, he said the United States was too Judified and Negrified to be considered an Aryan state. And he added that this problem, coupled with America's capitalist system, made them no match for Nazi Germany. These same beliefs led Hitler to declare war on the United States on December the 11th, 1941. And on it goes. Joseph Goebbels, who was the minister of propaganda for the Nazi war machine, made some statements concerning the Jewish control over the United States media, that it's not unusual that the United States media would say the things it was saying about Nazi Germany, since most of the media was based in New York, which had, in Goebbels' estimation, some 2 million Jews, and that Germany was a peace-loving nation and America was a piece of crap. So this is called a propaganda war. It's a war that right now we're losing. I don't know if you've noticed, but we're losing this propaganda war where it counts, and that's in the Middle East. Doesn't count here, and it doesn't count in Europe. Now, what do you think a propaganda war is? Well, a propaganda war basically is, and I don't mean to be rash, and I don't want to insult anybody, but a propaganda war is really who can tell the bigger lie and make it stick. Now, Joseph Goebbels was the propaganda minister of Nazi Germany in the 1940s and 30s. Goebbels' quote is now famous. I bet you didn't know who said it originally, but he's the one that said originally the following thing. Tell a big enough lie often enough, and it becomes the truth. That came from the lips of Joseph Goebbels, who also, by the way, said another famous thing. When I hear people talk of culture, I unfasten the safety on my revolver. Meaning he didn't want to hear about culture. He wanted to hear simply about state, politics, arming. Boom, let's get off to war. So the Nazis were enemies of culture. They were enemies, in other words, of diversity. That's the word we use for it today. But if you want to know who the people were that didn't like diversity and didn't like, for instance, like a society like America's, which is too Judified and Negrified for his taste, it's too cultural, in other words. It's too many cultures. It's too much culture for a guy like that. But getting back to the propaganda war, that is a war that right now we're losing. The propaganda war is really important because, at least for our perspective, it tells the truth about what we're attempting to do. Now, the propaganda war we're losing for a number of reasons, one of which the president, and you've heard me, man, since September the 11th, I've said nothing but good things about President Bush, but he has got a lot to learn in this regard. He, for instance, used a word that he should never have used, and the word is crusade. Right now we're dropping leaflets showing our soldiers shaking the hands of Afghani civilians. Well, the Germans posted pictures of German soldiers in Paris with the phrase read, "The German soldier is your friend." Now, I don't know whether that stuff really swings with those people, man, because number one, Bin Laden's a guy that lives in a cave just like the rest of them. He's a guy that basically throws dirt clods around for kicks just like the rest of them. He's a guy that's like eating beetles and you know, whatever else he can, you know, worms, whatever else he can find, just like the rest of them. America, they don't know from us. They don't know what we are. We're just a big, rich place. So they got way more in common with a guy like Bin Laden than we do. Now, fact is, the German people had way more in common with Hitler than they had with us. They were the ones that were suffering post-World War I with a mark that had deflated to the point it had no value. They were the ones that were, you know, eating bread that cost, what, like 8 million marks? I mean, the money was worthless. There was no work. The economy was shattered. The country was shattered. Why would they want to believe anything that we have to say since we're filled with the enemy? And at that time, the enemy was basically the Jewish businessman and the hegemonous capitalist systems and democracies around the world. So I want to just tell you that, and it's important. The propaganda war is a really important war. You have to say the same thing over and over and over again, and you got to say it to the right people. Now, some of you may be thinking it's not worth it, considering the fact that we have now another wave of terror. This isn't blowing up buildings. This is anthrax. And I know what I said about this not being overreported and overblown, and I still say that. Don't overreport it. Don't overblow it. Call it what it is. Right now, we've had 12 people exposed, one person dead. This is far from an epidemic of anthrax. Is it an attack by a terrorist? Yes. What kind? We don't know. Who is it? We don't know. You had a plane grounded in San Jose, I think, over the weekend because they found a, this is now the famous phrase, a white powdery substance. Since when is confetti a white powdery substance? Because that's what they found on that plane. So, in other words, the fear is doing far more damage than the actual event of anthrax, wherever it's being delivered and wherever it's being discovered. And that's what a war of terror is. It places so much fear on people, they become paralyzed. So the worst thing you can do is become paralyzed. The worst thing you can do is not do what you'd ordinarily do. Now, I know you've heard other people say this. I know it probably doesn't mean much to you. I know you're full of fear, but at some point we have to rise out of that and we got to act. And remember, people have said all kinds of bad crap about us in the past, how they were going to rip our throats out, how they were going to make us wish that we were never born, and on it goes. And those are just words. And right now, this is basically a war of words being waged against you and me and all of us in this big, beautiful place called America. And to the extent that we buy into it, is probably how much we should really start worrying, because that's to the extent that they've weakened us. They've weakened the country. All right, so there's my opening spiel here on a day like, you know, a lot of other days where we're going to be dialing the shtick back a little bit, taking your phone calls and reporting stuff and getting comments and giving opinions and sort of conducting the show in that vein for today. And again, we welcome you to log on to our website, find out more about what the Phil Hendry Show is, and get your backstage pass, and hear our streaming audio, and play Hendroids and relax. That's number one. Will you relax? Well, how can you ask me to relax? I could get anthrax in the mail. Well, okay, you could just throw the mail away. Don't open it. I don't know, man. I got a subscription renewal from Time Magazine. You think I got to open that, or what do you think? Time sending me some anthrax? This show has never opened listener mail for going back years. When I was back in Miami, I didn't open listener mail. I never got any listener mail, but if I got any, the one that I got a year, I wouldn't open it. I'd throw it away. Well, I would be tempted, but I'd still throw it away. Think about who they're sending this to. Think about who you are. With all due respect to who you are and what you do for a living, I mean, like if you're the head janitor at like a middle school someplace, I don't know if anybody's going to be sending you any anthrax, but then I don't know. You know what I'm saying? If you're a sales rep for the Laminated Nut Fastener Corporation, maybe they're not targeting you. I'm going to go out on a limb here, but perhaps not. All right, it's the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. We have other information for you, and we're going to give it to you when we come back on the Phil Hendry Show.
Show 1-800-449-8686.
I was also thinking about this. I gave this long, hard due consideration this weekend. I'm not kidding. I don't believe this is irresponsible of me to say this. I'm going to say it. In the unlikely event that we found ourselves on the rope, let's say we were losing this war. Let's say that for whatever reason, America was on the ropes, like a year, two, 3 years down the road. At that point, I would like to say publicly now, I would hope that Bush would aim every ICBM we've got just at the middle, every country in the Middle East, regardless, every single one, and then just have a ceremonial button push. Because you know we're done, because then you know that what would happen, the Russians would probably respond by hitting us, because they can't have that happen, and the Chinese would probably do the same thing. So we'd be done. But as our last act, and I know there's going to be people saying, what a completely uncivilized sense. I mean, because that's the ace that we got in the hole. I'm sorry. It is. Turn every oil field down there into a tar pit. Because that's the only thing, really, that we got that's going to make them maybe stop and think. Yes, I realize that we have a war. We're waging a war right now in a very conventional sense. We have a very high percentage of probability of victory on a military level. But have you asked yourself this question? Once we are able to rout the Taliban, what do you got left in Afghanistan? Well, most likely you got yourself a civil war that's got to get chilled out somehow. Secondly, how's that getting bin Laden? We still got to deal with him and his creeps. You see what I'm saying? We got to keep Pakistan happy. India just attacked Pakistan today. Thanks a lot, India. That's just making life so easy for us, man. I thought you guys were an ally. India is like this brother democracy down there, and Pakistan made it very clear they didn't want India involved in anything having to do with any of this stuff. So we've tried to keep India out of this. We're trying to get something done down there, trying to keep the Pakistanis happy, trying to make sure that Israel doesn't get nuts. And what does India do? They turn around and they start lobbing freaking mortar shots into Pakistan just to make things fun. Thanks a lot. Because I don't know why, because it seemed like a good time to mess everything up, just to screw us up, right? So this thing begins to spill over. And at some point you ask yourself, all right, so what's the percentage here of us having any real impact in a part of the world now that isn't just our assault on Afghanistan? Pakistan's now pissed off because India attacked them. So they turn around and they look at us and say, how come you let them do that? And we say, we didn't know they were going to do it. Oh, bull crap, you didn't know they were going to do it. Okay, well, just for that, you don't get to fly over our airspace. So now we can't fly over their freaking airspace. So now we're limited, like launching ships, launching planes off of carriers and whatever Uzbekistan's going to give us, which ain't much. So that means we got very limited. So now what do you do? At some point, you have to consider some kind of a fallback position. I'm not saying give up, but you got to consider some kind of a fallback. Because what's happening right now in Afghanistan in terms of our military assault is through the good graces, quite frankly, of a couple of countries. And I'm just saying we keep the nukes in reserve for the bitter end. You don't just turn around and say, Pakistan, if you won't let us fly over your airspace, we're going to nuke you. Oh, okay, well. You see what I'm saying? This is all, so India does this today. This is really a beautiful move. Thank you very much, India. Hey, India, you Hindus, you. I'm joking. I'm not impugning anyone's religion. Far be it from me. So that's going down. And then you got, what else are you? Now you got Iraq maybe has got a connection to this anthrax thing. So at what point do you finally chill Hussein out? I mean, at what point do you finally send him out of the room feet first? And then they got this latest thing today. Did you hear the latest? That they could have targeted bin Laden early on, but some military judge said, according to military law, we can't do it. They knew the building he was in. They had him in the freaking crosshairs. And somebody called off the dogs. Now, Rumsfeld apparently is pissed off about that. And Powell doesn't like what Rumsfeld thinks. And there's some guys that think it was cool and others don't. This is what I was telling you guys about last week when I said in any war early on, there are defeats. And again, look at America in World War II. We got nothing but our ass kicked early on in that thing. So this is the kind of stuff we got to suck up, and we got to get some people in there. And I'm not saying we don't already have them, but we got to get some people who are very decisive, extremely capable leaders, really people you can turn over a large share of this thing to. All right, we'll get some phone calls, I guess, and all of that talk radio stuff here. This is The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Yeah, we've dialed back the shtick mode for today. The news is coming in, so we're giving you the news. You know, as things develop, then we sort of just move out of shtick mode. We move out of that part of the war room, and we're on to our informational phase here. That's what we're doing today here. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. The new New York cases brought to, well, I say new New York cases involving the exposure to anthrax has to do with lab technicians involved in an investigation at NBC's New York headquarters and a police officer. I guess they tested positive. So those new New York cases brought to 12 the number of people around the nation who've tested positive for the presence of the bacteria in their system, including two who developed the disease. That's 12 in a country of 260 million people. So be cool. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Let's see where we at now. Should we go to Robert here? He's got a very provocative and inflammatory idea. Robert, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello, Phil. How are you doing today?
Fine.
Hey, Phil, you were talking about nuking the Middle East. I think I've got a better idea than that. One of the major tenets of Islam is they all have to make a pilgrimage to Mecca. So just tell all the Middle East nations that are Islamic, you know, predominantly Islamic, say, hey, all known terrorists delivered or Mecca destroyed.
Oh, that'll just really make them happy. Well, how is that going to do anything?
Well, I mean, you know, you're talking about nuking all the Middle East territories.
I'm saying,
I mean,
with the countries back to the wall, with if America in the very unlikely event was about ready to collapse and lose this war from many different standpoints, economic and social, and we were just about ready to be done in as a country. If, in other words, Bin Laden had his way, that's what I'm saying, then that's when I would say, go ahead and lob every last nuke we got into that part of the world.
Well, I don't think
you're talking about some kind of a measure in which Bin Laden is delivered to us by threatening Mecca.
Yeah, all known terrorists.
They wouldn't give a crap. They don't care. They would care, but they would just say there's more evidence of what a piece of crap America is, more evidence of what a big Satan it is, that we destroy our beautiful, you know, our holy sites.
Well, we are the most powerful country in the world.
So we like to think, and so I keep hearing anyway. Huh?
Yeah. And that was,
we're the most powerful.
We started acting like it.
Meaning what?
Meaning that if we want to win the war, let's win it.
Well, how would you say we win this, Robert? Go ahead. Give me your thumbnail sketch on how to win this war.
Well, I just gave you that.
Oh, we're going to threaten to nuke Mecca.
Mecca destroyed. They would give them up.
And then they turn around with their propaganda machine and say, there, proof positive what a piece of crap America is. They want to destroy Mecca. So then they decide they'll invade Jerusalem or whatever the hell else. Now you got yourself a world war on your hands.
And then we go ahead and take over the world, and we have the United States.
What makes you think we've got the juice to take over the world?
Do what?
What makes you think we have the juice to take over the world?
Oh, man. We've got it.
What? How? How do you take over the world? First, you got to occupy certain lands with troops, and a lot of those lands are going to be like being occupied. So now you got a guerrilla war you have to fight. People lobbing bombs into restaurants where soldiers are having dinner, and then what else?
So I take it that you don't like my idea.
No, I think it's fantastic. Thanks for calling. It's a tremendous idea. Why don't you send it to us via email at our website, philhenryshow.com. And we're going to have a section, Great Ideas for Taking Over the World. Nuke Mecca. Holy jeez. As my main man, Arlie Ermey, said in Full Metal Jacket, Nuke Mecca? That's what I call losing the propaganda war right there. And that's what we're doing, man. I'm telling you right now, we have got to somehow convince the world of the righteousness of our cause, and we ain't exactly doing it. You take a look at Pakistan, where 82% of the people polled by Time Magazine, not by the Pakistan News Service, not by Pakistan Today, or the Pakistan Bugle, by Time Magazine, 82% think that Bin Laden is a holy warrior. Do you understand? Now, this is not unlike what the country faced in the 30s. With so many around Europe, at least, believing Hitler to be the savior of the Germanic peoples, the pan-Germanic state being a really groovy thing. I don't know. There was a certain segment, in other words, of people who had been propagandized to the point where they bought into everything that our enemies were saying. This is what we're fighting right now. Okay, here now is Bill on the Phil Hendry Show. Bill?
Yeah, how you doing?
Fine.
I got a problem. We keep talking about what the world thinks of us and the diplomacy. Why don't we stop worrying about the diplomacy and take some real action?
Such as?
Well, such as I was ex-Special Forces, and they recruited me to go during the Gulf War and take out Hussein, and we had the trigger and the
nice
hair
job.
There.
Nice job, man. You didn't get him.
No, we didn't go. But there were 20-some-odd people that were there, and they wouldn't give them the go-ahead to pull the trigger.
Well, I don't know. You know, so what are we not doing that we should do?
Well, first of all, we worry so much about public opinion about other countries that we don't worry about taking care of business.
What business are we not taking care of?
Well, first of all, if you look at Israel, they take care of business. They had an assassin who made a car bomb and took out some people in a car bomb a week, 2 weeks ago.
Right.
What did they do? They sent a sniper in there and took him out.
All right, so, I mean, suppose we could send this. You know, first of all, I don't know about the feasibility of sending a sniper in to take out bin Laden, because I don't know that they know where he is. Secondly, yeah, you're right. There was an argument that had to do with the early on in the air campaign. Supposedly, they knew where bin Laden was in terms of some building, and they decided not to do that, not to kill him at that time. So if you're talking about that, well, you're right. There was a screw-up. But something tells me, Bill, you're not just talking about that.
Well, I'm not talking about that we should go into World War III and blow up the world, but I think that we have the intelligence and the power to go in and do the things that we need to do if we would stop worrying so much about
public opinion.
Yeah,
but I don't know what those things are. Is that kill bin Laden and all of his guys?
That's part of it.
So we're not going in to kill bin Laden because we're worried about public opinion?
Well, why do you think we've been bombing for 10 days?
Well, we've been bombing for 10 days, first of all, to cripple the military response of Afghanistan, so I would think it would make it easier for either Northern Alliance or United States Special Ops to go in and, yeah, go get him. But you're saying that we're reluctant to do it.
Phil, hold on a second. Special Ops doesn't need anyone to blow up anything before they go in. If you notice, when we go in and we're serious, when we went to get Noriega, we went in without blowing anything up.
We had troops on the ground. What are you talking about? We had troops on the ground. We had the United States Airborne on the ground.
It was the Navy SEALs. But that's
no, we had American United States Airborne. I know guys that were there. They were U.S. paratroopers. They were on the ground in Panama.
The Navy SEALs are the ones who brought Noriega out.
No, they're
okay?
Not. Noriega was inside of an embassy building, and he was in the Vatican embassy building surrounded by United States Army, and he finally surrendered.
Right, and who was the actual troops that went in? What are you talking about?
I just told you who went in. Okay. I know the SEALs were there, but so was the U.S. Army and a lot of other guys.
And I'm U.S. Army, okay, that's where I was, and that's who I am. I'm not defending the SEALs over the Army. The point being is...
I don't care. You could if you wanted to. I'm just saying that the SEALs weren't the guys that got Noriega.
When we wanted someone, we didn't bomb the country. We went in and got them.
Yes, well, this is a country with, as was explained to us by Captain Dale Dye in the Marine Corps, this isn't Vietnam and it ain't Panama. It's a rocky, very, very treacherous nation full of landmines that haven't been dug up since the Mujahideen War against the Soviets. A billion and one places to hide. These guys don't hide in the city. They hide out in these caves. And the ability to resupply these Taliban troops and to make them effective in terms of communication is the number one thing that we've been trying to effect and trying to destroy so that we can have some freedom of movement for or either alliance troops or American special operations forces.
You think it's just
right in there like we're not Superman, man.
Talk about propaganda, Phil, and basically that's what they're feeding us, and we're swallowing it.
They're not feeding us that, dude. This is intelligence from the Soviets who got their asses kicked, from the Russians who got their asses kicked down there. That's what our own people are telling us. That's not what they're telling us.
Soviets that you're believing that were a superpower.
These were Russians. The Russians have got no problem admitting that they got their asses kicked by these people. They have shared their intelligence with us. Our own people have been on the ground in that country now for the last month surveying the terrain.
They've been on the ground a lot longer than that, trust me, Phil.
Fine, okay, well then they must be the stupidest sons of bitches that ever walked, because what you're telling me is it's all propaganda, it's nothing that they're telling us.
They won't give them the go-ahead to pull the trigger, Phil.
Is that right? And how do you know that?
You've
been where? You just told me that the SEALs got Noriega. You were wrong about that.
No
is right. N-O spells you're gone. N-O spells thank you for calling. God, I hope to God that guy wasn't with Special Operations. No wonder we couldn't find that guy, Hussein. There's a guy there who says the SEALs went and got Noriega. Anybody can read a freaking newspaper knows what happened to him. He was sitting there in the Vatican in the embassy, crapping in his pants while the U.S. Army was outside playing sticks. They were playing sticks on loudspeakers. That'd get anybody, and that would drive anybody out of any hole in the ground. Sticks. I'd come out crying. I'd just have my hands up before the first, oh, mama, I'm in fear for my life. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Hey, this just in from Fox News. Bill Riley says we must win the war on terrorism. All right, Bill, thanks. That's good. I didn't know that. And he looked very serious when he said he looked in the game and said, we must. Well, yeah, we must. Got any ideas? Well, I gathered that we must. How we're going to do that, everybody's sort of divided on that right now. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Muhammad on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Phil.
Any guy named Muhammad is a friend of mine, let me tell you.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
All right.
I would appreciate it more if you just, you know...
Shut my big fat mouth and let you talk.
No, not you. I would love, you know, if you keep the show just funny instead of having, you know, some moron...
No kidding.
Making stupid comments. I don't know the guy who said we should bomb Mecca. What this has to do with one or few guys who commit a stupid thing? And I would love the guy, you know, if he, you know, make whatever he believes in a bumper sticker and stick it in his car or his ass.
Or stick it someplace else, yeah.
Yeah.
Someplace darker and more fragrant, okay.
Well, trust me, whomever did this thing, they will take care of him first. And that guy, he needs to be taken care of first.
Which guy is this, Bin Laden or the guy that called the show?
No, the guy who called the show, Bin Laden, too, and his group.
Now, bombing Mecca, that's nuts. You know, I mean, that's like the ultimate propaganda. Sure. So we take out a religious site, get millions and millions of Muslims pissed off at us as if we don't already have a propaganda problem, as if we don't already have a problem trying to convince the Muslim people of the Middle East that we're not trying to destroy Islam. Bin Laden says that that's exactly what we're trying to do. And that we're trying to destroy Afghanistan, and we're trying to kill Muslims, and everybody believes him.
Well, I mean, I've noticed that a bunch of Americans, they're falling on the trap. I mean, the guy is trying to, make the conflict as religious, and...
Yeah, so then we make it religious, yeah. You're right. You're absolutely right. So then we got reports of Muslims being attacked on the streets of America. Guy, that's more stuff that he uses in his favor. Right? Is that what? Am I putting words in your mouth?
Oh, no.
Okay.
I mean,
All right, take it easy, Muhammad.
You too, thanks.
All right, babe, bye. Have a beer. 1-800-449-8686. Marla, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello, Phil.
Hi.
I want you to know that you always make me laugh. And, you know, I would love to be able to just turn somebody off when I didn't want to hear them anymore. But anyway, I tell you what.
Would that be me or what?
No. You know, just the average person on the street.
Absolutely.
You know, I agree with you 100% that we are losing this propaganda war. But I kind of felt like telling this Muhammad guy, I understand where he's coming from, but, you know, I think the Muslims that live in the Western countries should do more to propagandize what's happening. Do you know what I mean?
No, because they live in the Western countries, so... You know, it's really not anything to put on anybody as a group. I mean, we're as Americans. The best thing we can do is get along with each other. I don't know what, you know, I just talked to a guy in Miami who is a Muslim who said they had a rally, an anti-Bin Laden, a pro-America mm-hmm. rally of the Muslim community in Miami. Did you see that reported anywhere?
No,
did you hear
exactly.
about the news reporting that? Well, it's not their fault.
Well, I know. You're right. And we're not showing it. Here's another thing. You know,
are you Muslim, by the way?
Am I what?
Are you a Muslim?
No.
All right. I could have sworn. Go ahead.
You know, about a year ago, the
You were at the mosque.
huh?
Yeah, go ahead.
The Taliban, at the bequest of Bin Laden, blew up some ancient Hindu ruins.
No, Buddhist.
Buddhist ruins. That's right. You're right. Now, you know, that's the type of thing that we need to show more of.
Well, wait a second.
We're not pulling the right thing.
We should show that. They're the ones that blew
yes.
it up. Well, but
exactly.
The point being that everybody, the rest of the world knows that, but in the Middle East, among fundamentalist Muslims, that's a cool thing. I mean, we're talking about a minority, but a really loud, screaming minority of fundamentalists who are, you know, think that's cool.
But here's the thing. I guess that's one thing we differ. I don't think you're going to get to those fundamentalists.
No, but what I'm saying is that they're the ones that are making all the noise, you know, and so they're the ones that are punching out all the propaganda. They're the guys that are saying, look, this is a war against the West. They're trying to destroy us, and that means even if we got to blow up Buddhist ruins, we have to do that. You see, and to a guy who's living, you know, to a man or to a woman who lived for years under a despotic king or a Shah who had their, who lives like crap, even though they see the Western countries pumping billions of dollars worth of oil out of their ground, as far as they're concerned, we're the ones that are reaping all the benefits of that. They don't know that the Saudi kings and the Saudi sheikhs and the Taliban, all those guys get all of the juice. So to them, we are a big, fat, oil-slopping bunch of pigs.
Yeah.
You know, living high on the hog.
You're not saying we should, like, reach out to them like Mr. Donahue, are you?
It's very, very disingenuous of us to suddenly become, all concerned with the Afghani people when 2 months ago we couldn't have given a crap whether they lived or died.
I agree.
It's extremely disingenuous for America to put on a face of care and concern for a people that we didn't give a crap about 3 months ago.
Well,
that having been said, like I said at the beginning of the show, propaganda is winning the war of lies more than anything else. And and I don't mean to say that America is a bunch of lying, thieving slobs. I'm just saying that if we're going to tell them that we give a crap about them, then we got to really tell them we give a crap about them. We got to do it over and over and over again. We got to back it up with food drop after food drop after food drop. We got to become united and concerted in this effort. And so far in this country, we're not united and concerted about anything other than making sure we don't get any white powder on us, you know. Right now, we're still retreating as a country. And at some point, we need to kind of move forward. And waving flags ain't it. Okay, Marla?
Okay. Thanks.
Keep laughing. Bye. We are backpedaling. I'm not saying that we're a bad people or that we're not going to win and that we're not going to persevere and overcome eventually. But we're still backpedaling. We're still reeling from September 11th, and now anthrax. There's fear. I talk to people very close to me, people that I love, people that I care about. They're afraid. And I just say the same thing. After enough of this crap, you start to get a little upset and annoyed. You start to get pissed off. Your skin thickens. And you begin to take on an attitude of, well, you know what? This is just the price. This is the way it is, and we got to get through it no matter what. And here's what I got to do. I got to put one foot in front of the other. But right now, we're not there. We're not there yet. We will. I hope. 1-800-449-8686. Don't forget philhenryshow.com. Sign up for your backstage pass to the Phil Henry Show. Only $6.95 a month. philhenryshow.com, the official website of the Phil Henry Show.